Good morning. Welcome once again to the Forgotten Word. I'm Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries, and we're continuing with our series here on false preachers, false preachings, and how serious a problem it seriously is. And, you know, I was talking yesterday, talking about Leonard Ravenhill and some of the quotes that he had. And, you know, there's a couple more that I want to get to before we close this series. Here's one that Leonard Ravenhill, again, if you haven't heard of Leonard Ravenhill, you need to look him up. Great preacher from a few years back. Said, a popular evangelist reaches your emotions. And that's true. You ever been to a crusade or an outdoor tent meeting or whatever? Or ever had revival in your church, and they bring in an evangelist and he gets you all stirred up? But he reaches your emotions. And that's where we get a lot of people saying that they want to accept Christ, but it's only because they were emotionally involved. They never really had a true conversion. Well, he says this. He says, a true evangelist reaches your emotions. A true prophet reaches your conscience. You see the difference there between your emotions and your conscience? Big, huge difference. Keep that in mind when you're hearing preachers talk, when you're hearing preachers preach, when you hear anybody. If it's all emotional, but there's no true gripping of the heart and your conscience, then it's not really a deep conversion. And, you know, I think I had said, you know, that if a Christian is not having tribulation in the world, there's something wrong. Well, that's a quote that I'm sure others have made, but Ravenhill made that quote also. And it's true. The Bible tells us, you know, we're going to be ostracized. We're going to, you know, it's going to be a battle. You know, everybody thinks that, you know, now in today's world, everybody says that if you're a Christian, everything's supposed to be roses. But the Bible never says that. Never says it nowhere. We're going to have tribulation. That's what our life is going to be full of, is tribulation. And it's going to be hard on some of us. Harder on some than others, of course. But it never said anything about everything's going to be a rose garden. But that's what the preachers today want us to believe, isn't it? And that's what we fall into. We fall into that trap. That trap of lackadaisicalness. You know, we all become so lackadaisical about everything. You know, everything's good, home life's great, making lots of money, the flowers are blooming, everything's just wonderful. You know, in the meantime, as it said earlier, the world around you is going to hell, but your own little bubble seems to be fine. You're having no problems with nothing. Maybe it's because you're not sharing your word enough. You ever think of that? Maybe that's the problem. The reason everything's so rosy for you is because you're doing nothing. Well, of course the devil's not going to trouble you. The devil's not going to trouble you if you're not doing anything to trouble him. Amen? That's how it works. It's how it's supposed to work, and that is how it works. Anything else is wrong. A true man of God is heartsick, honestly, folks. Listen to this quote here. A true man of God is heartsick, grieved at the worldliness of the church, grieved at the toleration of sin in the church, grieved at the prayerlessness in the church. He's disturbed that the corporate prayer of the church no longer pulls down the strongholds of the devil. How many out there believe that? It's true. It's not a statement. I know it's a statement Leonard Ravenhill might have said, but it's a true statement. Everything he said right there is the truth. If you truly are a man or woman of God, you should be heartsick at what's going on around you in the world. And that's what I keep coming back to. Your own little world is not what you need to be looking at. Yes, you can look at your own world, get it fixed up, get it right with God, and then look outside and see what's going on. You be a worker for Christ. You decided when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior that you would do the will of the Lord, the will of God. So when are you going to start doing it? You think coming to church on Sunday morning is a fulfillment? You think that fulfills your obligation to the Lord? I'm not talking about works for salvation, but I'm telling you, you got an obligation to do the will of the Lord. To fight the good fight, to run the good race. You're not fighting a good fight, running a good race if you're not doing anything. Show up on Sunday morning and talk to other Christians about how your garden's doing or how your yard's doing or the rain. We ain't got no rain. We need some rain. We need rain, all right. We need rain. The Holy Spirit needs to rain down on us. That's the rain we need. That's the rain we truly need. Sad. You know, the New Testament church didn't have fancy buildings. They didn't have big buildings even. They didn't have not much money. No TV or radio to beg for money. None of the comforts that we have today. None of the electronics to get our word out to people all over the world. They didn't have any of this kind of stuff, folks. They had nothing, hardly. But you know what they did? They turned the world upside down for Jesus. Isn't that amazing? With what little bitty bit they had, they turned the whole world upside down. Here we are in this 2012 with everything at our fingertips to be used to spread the gospel of Christ, and we can't even make an impact on our own little town. How many of you out there believe this? How many of you out there realize that that's the truth? You're not even making an impact on your own little town. And these people of the New Testament church in right after Christ ascended to heaven, they turned the whole world upside down with a little bit of nothing. You don't see it, huh? You know, I wish there was a way for me to hear over the airways back so I could hear if there's anybody out there saying amen. Praise the Lord, that's right. Praise the Lord, that's right. We got to get off our behinds and start doing the work of the Lord. Wish I could hear that. I really do. Write us and let us know if you believe it. We want to hear from you about that. But let me tell you something. I'm almost to the point of being embarrassed to be a part of the church world today. I'm serious. I'm serious about this. And why would you ask? I'll tell you why. Because we're an embarrassment to a holy God. I'm sure that we are an embarrassment to a holy God. A God who created us and gave us everything, including His only begotten Son to die for us. And I think the problem that most people can't get past, and maybe the problem they have understanding how that is that Christ died for us, and He was resurrected in 3 days, after 3 days. And so much we put emphasis on the resurrection that we forget what Christ went through to get to the resurrection to start with. The suffering, the pain, the agony, the anguish that He had to suffer through before He could even have a resurrection, He had to suffer and die. Does that not have an impact on anybody? Have you ever felt embarrassed when you thought about how you don't do anything for God like you're supposed to? Well, it does me. And I'm serious when I say I'm almost to the point of being embarrassed to be a part of the church world. I'm not talking about my church that I attend to on Sundays. I'm talking about the church as a whole, the people of Christ, the followers of Jesus. We're an embarrassment. We are an embarrassment. Where's the Davids? Huh? Where are they? Where's the Pauls and the Stephens? Stephen was anointed with his walk with the Lord, but he was also still anointed when he got stoned. We are just such lackadaisical people, lazy people. I don't mean to offend anyone. I really don't mean to offend anyone. But the truth sometimes hurts so badly. Because we have to know the truth. And as it says, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. So help me God. We got to know what the truth is. What's the church doing today? I can tell you what it's doing today. By and large, not all, not every church, not everyone, no. But by and large, if we was to take and could put it in a pie graph and look at this percentage is doing this, this percentage is that, and blah, 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 and so forth, we'd see that the bulk of the churches in the world today are concentrating on the one major goal. It seems to be the major goal, and that's to create an atmosphere and an environment of fun. It seems that fun has replaced holiness as a church's goal. Having a good time has become the criteria for an excellent growing church, since fun and entertainment is what the church consumers want. Yet scripture references encouraging churches to become havens of fun are, as many of one of you might suspect, now listen, they're sadly lacking. You find any in the Bible that tells us that church is supposed to be fun, that that's what this is all about? And then there's going to be some that's going to say, well, didn't David dance naked in the streets praising the Lord? Of course he did. He got overly zealous one time, I guess you could say, and zealous for the Lord, and got a little silly about it. And that happens. There's going to be times when you're going to just be all excited and giddy about something that's going on in your walk with the Lord, and that's wonderful. But you know, as we come together as a church, you know, we're supposed to assemble ourselves together. What in Hebrews it says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Hebrews 10:35. Listen, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to assemble together. As believers, as like-minded people, believing in Jesus Christ. What are we supposed to do when we get together? What was the church all about? We know what it is today. We know a lot of what's going on in the churches today. Sad to say. But we do. We know a lot about what's going on. And it's sad. And it's scary. And it's disgusting. There's some good stuff happening. Sure there is. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's some good stuff going on in a lot of churches. But there's so much garbage out there that it's becoming so hard to find a church that truly is holy towards God. We sit in the pews and we don't want to even participate. It's like we don't get excited about anything. Preacher can preach on topics and items and things about God and the goodness of the Lord and the love of the Lord and all these wonderful things about Jesus, and you never hear an amen and praise the Lord and a hand clap, thank you Jesus, nothing. We're all a bunch like stagnant water. Look at, we're in the middle of a drought right now. Now what do we see around us? We see stagnant pools that used to be waters that was being refreshed and reinvigorated all the time and aerated because they'd get rain and new oxygen would come into the water. Now it's stagnant pools. That's pretty much what we're seeing in churches today, stagnant pools. Either they're doing nothing or they're following the wrong path. Anyway, listen, gotta go. See you in the morning. We pray these programs have been a blessing to you and they've taught you something. We feel that, you know, we're trying hard to do what the Lord has led us to do, and we pray that and hope and pray that it has been accomplished in these programs. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, or would like to, you know, comment on the programs or send any donations to the ministry, please write us at Forgotten Word Ministries, P.O. Box 315, Camp Point, Illinois, 62320. That's Camp Point, CampPoint, two different words, Illinois, 62320. God bless you.